the matzah that we eat at the end of the Seder, can the matzah we eat at the end of the Seder, the afikoyimin, is a zecher lekorban Pesach. I think we eat a total of five. We have to spend some time on the Haggadah. We have a few days left. We're going to spend some of the Haggadah. I want to just go through some inyanim first, a couple of days of inyanim. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have a total of five kezaisim. When you eat matzah, you don't have to eat more than one kezais. It's all you have to be to the mitzvah deraisa of eating matzah. That's it. You just eat one kezais. And you don't have to eat the larger shear either. You can eat a small shear. However, many people are mahader to eat a total of five kezaisim. Why are there five kezaisim? There's one kezais for the hamoitzi. Hamoitzi, make a brach, hamoitzi lechem in aretz. We eat one kezayis for achilas matzah. We eat one kezayis that accompanies the moror, karpas. And we eat another that's already three. One kezayis keneged the chagiga, and one kezayis keneged the korban pesach. A zeich of the carbon pesach for the chagiga. It's a grand total of five kezaisim that are eaten by the seder. Okay, so we'll talk about that another time and go through all the cheshbonos. But basically, people.
You're muted, Levin. You're muted.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm sorry. Now we're back in business. So we're talking now about the carbon pesach. We're learning about the carbon pesach. And even though Halacha L'maaseh B'zman said we do not bring Korban Pesach, but we do on Pesach eat a kezayis of matzah as a zecher for the Korban Pesach. We eat in total five kezayisim of matzah.
What did you say? What was for karpas?
Moror, korech, koror, moror. We eat kachoy hil b'zman shabeis nishalikayim, korech matzah mor b'yachad. So we eat a total of five kezesim. One keneged the hamoitzi lechem in aretz. One keneged the mitzvah d'oraisa chilas matzah. One kezayis we eat together with the moror. And one kezayis we eat keneged the korban chagiga. And one kezayis we eat keneged the korban pesach. The last two kezesim are eaten as the afi koimen. And therefore, because those the last kezayis that we eat at the end of the Seder, according to not everyone, but according to many, is keneged the Korban Pesach. There are many lessons and similarities in the way we eat that kezayis that are equivalent to the way the Korban Pesach was eaten. And let's focus on the main one right now, is Nechal al Hasoiva. There's a special halach by Korban Pesach that you have to eat it in a state of satisfaction. Gemara makes a drasha. It's a special drasha. Unfortunately, I forgot the drasha at this moment. Maybe we'll come across it. To turn to the pages over here. That it has to be eaten al hasev, which basically means you have to be like Goldilocks, not too hungry and not too full. If you're too hungry, you're focusing on your hungry. You're not concentrating that you're eating this l'shem shemayim. And if you're too satisfied, it's a burden. It's an achila gasa. So you have to eat it just right. It has to be just right. Not too little, not too much. You have to be, the tank has to be three quarters full. And eating the kezayis of the afikoyimin, eating the Korban Pesach, it tops you over. It tops you up. Oh, so I'm a little bit hungry, so it's satisfying, but I'm not that hungry that I'm eating it I'm eating it out of taiva, and it's not nachi legas, a very unique halacha. Now, let's go back. There's a very basic question, challenging question to this principle. Because the Korban Pesach must be nechal al hasoiva, that is one of the primary reasons why we first eat in time Shabbos HaMikdash HaYekayim a Korban Chagiga. Because the Korban Chagiga, when you would eat basar, people in time of the Beis HaMikdash Bisman wouldn't just stand eat basar. You don't just go out to a restaurant. If a person wants to eat basar, you might as well eat the basar in a state of Kedusha, a Korban Shalomim. carbon shlom can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between. So there's plenty of time to eat basar, and it can be eaten in the entire city of Yerushalayim. So when a person would eat basar, yeah, you can eat basar chulin. If it's too difficult to travel to Yerushalayim, so then you can eat chulin. But people would choose, when possible, if they're eating basar, they might as well eat it b'kedusha uvitahara, to eat besar kochim, specifically a karbon shlomim. And in fact, anyone can eat it. Anyone can eat it, and they were gemachs, that's what it seems, they were gemachs. People brought karbonis, and they could not possibly eat all of the meat. It's too much to eat for them, for their family. And they would invite people, and the meat would be distributed in Yerushalayim. And if you eat, you have to eat it with kedusha of tahara. Question: is there a halacha of nechal al hasoiva when it comes to regular korbanos? When a person eats a korban shlomim, is he allowed to fast the entire day, starve yourself the entire day? I'm on a tinus, and then I'm going to bring the korban shlomim, and then I'm going to break my fast. I'm going to break my fast by eating a karbon shlamim. Is there a din of nechal al hasoiva regarding ordinary basar of kachim the whole year round?
No, it's so big that you have to invite
people. Fine, but is a person allowed, this is a general question, is a person allowed to eat basar shlamim after fasting an entire day? I have not eaten anything the last 24 hours. I'm going to break my fast tonight by eating besar kachim, shlamim. So what's the pasuk? What is the pasuk that says that Karban Pesach has to be nechal ala soiva? What's the pasuk for that? Let me find the makar. This is a big machloikis rishayin. It's a major machloikis rishayin if a person is allowed to break his fast on shlamim. Because if you're starving, and you go and you take kachim, I'm starving, and you eat kachim, it's a bizoyon. It's a disgrace. You're not eating it l'shem shemayim. V'ochlu oisam asher kubar bohem. Eating kachim is not like eating a bag of potato chips. It's not like eating pretzels. Eating kachim is an avoida. It is certainly an avoida for the kohanim. And there's a big discussion, what exactly are the rules of Avodah when it comes to Ba'olim Yisraelim eating kachim? Because it's still, I'm just throwing out a lot of concepts, I'm not giving you sources.
On the other end of the spectrum, we eat matzah b'teyovo.
Oh. So, let's see, that's not, but there's a halach that you're not allowed to fast Erev Pesach. I mean, that's the whole question with the Bechoyra, the Tanis Bechoyras, because they are fasting. This is a very complicated sugya. You have to eat it bitte avoin, but you're not allowed to eat it. Erev Pesach, Tanis Bechoyrim. Mikra Din. Oh, so that's right. You're not allowed to go into Shabbos in a state of being famished. Because when you're going to come, if you're not allowed to go into Shabbos.
But you also need to stay over, you shouldn't stuff yourself.
Oh, so it has to be somewhere in the middle. Exactly. Every Shabbos you have this halacha.
But that's the one quarter thankful, not the three quarters.
Okay, whatever it is. But every Shabbos is a halacha, you're not allowed to come into Shabbos in a state of being famished. Because it's not a covet for Shabbos, it's not a covet for your Suda Shabbos. Your focus, everyone knows that when you're very, very hungry, you become a very different person. And your frame of mind regarding food becomes everything. It's not the proper way to enter into Shabbos and to come to food. If that's true when it comes to a regular, ordinary Shabbos of Chol, Alachas Kam V'Kam when it comes to eating Besar Kodesh. I'm just throwing on words. I'm not giving you the sources. I have all the sources over here. There's a very big machlokes. We have a principle in the pasuk: "V'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem." This is the pasuk. I think it's in Tetzav. I don't remember where it is. This is the pasuk that tells us that the part of the kapara that comes to the owner of a carbon is when the kohanim eat. There are many different dimensions of kapara. Obviously, the ikar kapara is the zrika sadam. When the kohanim put the blood on the mizbech, there is kapara. But there's more kapara that comes when the kohanim, another level of kapara that is achieved when the kohanim eat the portion of the karbon that they are required to do so. V'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. Mikan sheha kohanim oichlim Uba'olim mischaperin. Rashi says those exact words. So there's a question, why only when the Kohanim eat do the Ba'olim get kapara? What about Kodshei Kalim, which a major chunk of the basar goes to the Ba'olim, the owner of the carbon, when they eat their own carbon, does that also add a dimension of kapara? Just like when the Kohanim eat from the basar, the owner of the carbon achieves a new dimension of kapara. When the owner himself is permitted to eat part of that basar, does that enhance his kapara? This is a machloikis rishonim. And many say yes, even though the pasuk is addressing the kohanim, lav dafka the kohanim hu adin. So if that's true, when you're eating kachim, you're eating a carbon pesach, you're gaining kapara. There's an avoida here. Now, Karm Pesach, is there a kapara? Yes, no. But obviously, this is not a simple thing. And it comes to any carbon, it is like that. So here, the point is, without going through all the sources and all the details, because that's not the main point I want to bring out. I want to come out and bring out something different about Karm Pesach. According to many of the Rishonim, this principle of a carbon Pesach being Nechal al Hasoiva is not unique to carbon Pesach. This applies to every carbon. Every carbon, you got to be very careful. You have to be Goldilocks. Not too soft, not too hard, not here, not there. You have to be a little hungry, b'te'avoin, but you have to be in control. Being in control of your appetite means you've had what to eat, and this is like a dessert. It's just a little bit more enhancement. If that is the case, we have a very basic question. How then can the chagiga be the food that you eat that fills you up so that the carbon pesach is nechal al hasoiva? Doesn't the carbon chagiga also need to be nechal al hasoiva? It's a bizoyan to the carbon chagiga. The carbon chagiga, let's say it's shavuos, it's sukkos. Every one of the shalosh regalim, you have an obligation to bring a carbon chagiga. That's a halach in the Torah. There's an oil asriya, which is completely burnt, and there's a carbon chagiga. So every yomtiv and the carbon chagiga has to be nechal al hasoiva. You now have to come into sukkah starving, and then, oh, now we're going to eat the besar chagiga, the carbon chagiga for yomtiv. And you're going to eat it in a state of famine. It's also nechal al hasoiva. So Pesach, every child knows, oh, why we have two kezesim, one keneged the chagiga, one keneged the carbon Pesach. Why do you need a chagiga? There's shulchan aruch here. We got plenty of tea. What's the chagiga? To make sure the carbon Pesach is nechal al hasoiva. Excuse me, the carbon chagiga itself needs to be nechal al hasoiva. Question number two is really the same as question number one, but just different words. There's a Gzeres HaKosov. I'm very bad with the Pesukim and the Makoros, and it says that every time a Kohen eats Kodshim, it must be eaten Limoshcha. Okay, there's a principle called Nasati Lochem Limoshcha. When Kohanim do their service in the Mikdash, Limoshcha, there's a whole page of commentators trying to break their heads to define the word limoshcha. Rashi says it means ligidula, for greatness. The best parish that I came across, that I have enormous satisfaction, is the word limoshcha is just like the word simla, samla, keves, this week's parish vayikra, keves, kesev, can drive you crazy. If you're lame, you got to know the difference between the word kesev and keves. And what's the difference between the word simla and samla? Now, there is a difference, obviously, but basically, for our purposes, there's no difference. Okay, there is a little nuance of a difference. Herdenfeld, he told me that he asked Rabbi Belsky, what's the chilik between a keves and a kesev? And Rabbi Belsky, who knows everything, told him, I don't know. I don't know the difference. And then he found out the difference between the two, and he told Rabbi Belsky. And every time Rabbi Belsky met him, he thanked him for telling him, oh, because you told me the difference, I always remember what the difference now is because of what you told me. He always thanked him for telling him showing him the chilek between the word he found the answer, what it means, the keves and the kesef, the difference in nuance. But there are many, there's a whole list. We would try to collect a whole collection. There are many words like this, a collection of words of two letters in the word, for whatever reason, are interchanged.
So what's the difference, though?
I don't remember. Keves and kesef, you have to ask every didya. A similar, what?
Oyef and yoef.
Oyef and I know it's in la
yoef
koyach and in oyef. Okay, I gotta think about this. All right, but let me give you this is what satisfies me very much. Lemoshcha is one of those words. Switch to two middle letters. Lesimcha. Lesimcha. Lemoshcha. La mem. Shin. Chaf. Hey. Interchange the two millers, the chaf, the sin, I'm very bare with this, but interchange the two middle letters, the mem and the shin, the two middle letters, it's the same exact word as le simcha. When the kohanim eat the kachim, they should eat it le simcha nosati lochem. Don't come to the mikdash and mope and groan and be in a state of depression. When you eat kachim, you have to eat kachim b'simcha, l'simcha nosati lachem. I've given it to you for joy, not for depression, not for sadness. Just like in simla, samla, keves, kesev, and there's another long collection of these type of words, l'moshcha fits into that category. L'moshcha, you can interchange the two middle letters and it turns into the word l'simcha, for joy. It's all part of the same similarity of all the other perushim of lamashcha, which we commonly translate with the Torah.
That is what we say in Zmiras. Oneg v'gam simcha bohem lamashcha.
Ooh, oneg v'gam simcha
bohem lamashcha.
Bohem lamashcha. Interchange that word itself. Okay, and we commonly translate the word lamashcha ligidula, for greatness. And from that, Chazal dwell upon this very heavily, this principle. This principle, Lamashcha, is a big sugya, and it has to be, you're permitted to bring into the Beis HaMikdash Chulin. Chulin Bo'azara. You're allowed to bring in spices, mustard, kidney ice, all different types of dips and other ingredients. Good morning. All different types of ingredients and enhancements that are chulin. Some learn the mamer. How could you bring into the Beis HaMikdash chulin? Chulin wazara. That's only the animal. But once the kohanim are required to eat, so everyone have a chef. Every mishmar had a chef, and the chef came in with whole crates and crates of condiments and spices and who knows what to cook the basar kachem, and everything he brought in was chulin. How are you going to bring chulin and eat chulin to the Beis HaMikdash? Chulin? Lamoshcha! What, the meat should be raw, it should be just bland, they're going to cook it, they're going to roast just water and just fire. You got to give it some spice, you got to have some flavor. And there's another very important halacha from this, is that there were picnic tables in the Azara. Did you ever see a model of the Beis HaMikdash showing picnic tables in the Azara? I've never seen one, but Chazal say they were. L'moshcha, l'gidula, you don't eat when you're standing. That's not the way a king, l'gidula, that's not the way a king eats food. You don't eat standing. Ein yeshiva b'azara, oh, but you're not allowed to sit in the Azara, el l'malche beis David bilvad. That's when you're not eating. But when you're eating, Limoshcha. This has a practical application, Allah Almighty, when it comes to the Machlaikis Rishonim, where exactly do you apply the principle of Limoshcha? Is it only with regard to meat? What about Minochais? Is there a din Limoshcha on a Mincha? Is a Machlaikis, is there a din Limoshcha on Matnois Kuhuna? You give a coin the Zeroya, the Lechayayim Vehakeva. When you give the coin the Zeroya, make her adin bisman azeh, you mechuyif do the same thing, make her adin bisman azeh. When you slaughter an animal, you're supposed to give the entire tongue. That's the keva. The keva The lechayayim is not the we translate the cheek. It's not the cheek. The lechayayim is really the tongue. You know how much it costs to buy a tongue today? $100 to go buy a whole tongue. That whole tongue is really me'ikar hadin, should be given as a gift to your local kohen. $100 gift. That's what you're supposed to give. When the kohen gets the lechayayim today in the secular year 2023, is he obligated to eat that sitting down and smoked and flavored to his liking? Some hold yes. The din lemashcha is not limited to basar kadoshim. It applies to all matnois kohuna. Even teruma. There's a din lemashcha. Okay, there are different opinions on this matter. Lemashcha is a very serious business.
You must prepare everything you give
to the. We don't do today. We don't give. We bechlal don't give the. We don't give the manas kohuna altogether today, for whatever the reasons are. But the lemashcha is a very big principle. So here's the basic question: there's a din lemashcha. Now another question: is there a din lemashcha when the be'olim eat kachin? We typically talk about lemashcha, it's only for kohanim, because the kohanim eat kodshe kodoshim. What about kodshim kalim? Karbon shlomim, a karbon chagiga, who's eaten, it's eaten by the owner of the animal, who is a Yisrael. Is there a din of lemashcha for a Yisrael when he eats besar kodshim? So some say, yeah. It's no different. Even though the Torah is only addressing the Kohanim, because the Torah is dealing when the Kohanim eat Kodshei Kodoshim. But when a Yisrael eats Kodshei Kalim, he's in a one dimension, he's behaving like a Kohen. He's entering into the world of Kohuna. He's eating Kodshim Kalim, and there are rules and regulations that are borrowed from the Kohanim, and it has to be with a certain yiras haroimimus and respect of lemashcha. So what are we getting to over here? The getting to over here is, what then is the difference between lemashcha and nechal al hasoiva? Doesn't the principle of lemashcha automatically mean that you're eating it in a frame of mind where you're not starving? And it's going to satisfy you. The concept of nechal, of lemashcha, automatically should include nechal al asoiva. Let's go to the purest case, a koin. A koin is in kodshei kodashim. Torah says, when you eat the kodshei kodashim, watch out. There's a halacha lemashcha, ligadula, the way a king eats. A king sits down at a table. He has mashke to accompany the food. There's flavoring. There's an ambiance. There's a hole in the setting. The most basic principle of eating lemashcha is the king is not starving. If you're starving for the last, we haven't eaten for the last 3 days, and you see meat, ha, 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 your mind is totally overwhelmed, and that's not called lemashcha. The most basic elementary principle of lemashcha is that it should be nechal al hasoiva. So here's the question. If, this is our second question, which really ties into the first question, is when you eat kachim, a Korban Pesach, a regular Yisrael eats kachim. Does a regular Yisrael eating kachim, eating a Korban Pesach, when a regular Yisrael, time Shabbos, time Shoyakayim, and they ate the Chavura, ate their Korban Pesach, and they gave you a kazayis of the Korban Pesach to eat, was there a din on a Yisrael of lemashcha when he ate the Korban Pesach? So machlekes Rishonim. Let's make believe the answer is yes. It's kachim. Korban Pesach is kachim. Serious business over here. There's din mi'ila. This is heavy duty stuff. You don't just eat. There's a din lemashcha. It may not be the lemashcha on the same madrig as a koyein, but it's a din lemashcha. So doesn't lemashcha already include within it the principle of nechal al asoiva? What's exactly the chilik between lemashcha and nechal al asoiva? So we have two questions. Number one is, there's a Karban Chagiga. Everyone knows the purpose of the Karban Chagiga is for a person to be filled up. Fill up your tank. And just leave over a little bit, little empty space in the tank in order that the Karban Pesach should be Nechal al HaSoiva. Question. The Chagiga also has to be Nechal al HaSoiva. It's a halacha. Number two, every time a person approaches Kachim, whether a Yisrael or a Kohen, there's a din of Lamashcha. So what then is the chilik between Lamashcha and Nechal al HaSoiva? So the answer is very simple. And it opens up something very, very deep. Answer is, I can't really tell you that I saw this explicitly here, but from extrapolating of all the ideas, they throw at you over here, 100 ideas on one page, this idea definitely leaps out of the pages of the Avnei Shoya. Definitely in all of the different collection of Rishonim and Achronim that he presents, this idea comes out in one way or another. So it's not an original idea. Yishmaya, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Shlamowitz, Rabbi Yishaya Shlamowitz. Shlamowitz? Shlamowitz? This is what comes out. A Karban Chagiga is prepared. You're not allowed to eat raw meat. You don't eat raw meat. How do you prepare the meat, the regular kachim, all kachim, no limitation, however you like. If you want, you can eat it raw, half-cooked. Regular Karban Shlomim, Karban Chatos, Karban Asha, whether it's the Kohen eating, whether it's a Yisrael eating, you have to eat it. There's a mitzvah. The ochlu oisam asher kupa bohem. Okay, let's prepare it. Can you eat it raw? I don't know. Maybe you're allowed to eat it raw. I don't know if you're allowed to eat it raw. I'm not so sure. But no, l'chari, you can no means partially cooked. You like it partially cooked? That's how you like it. Good for you. That's called l'moshcha for you. You want to roast it? Good on the hate. You want to cook it? Good for you. What is it called? Tzlik kedar. Tzlik kedar is to cook it in its own liquids, no water. Put in a pot roast, you put in a pot, and you just let the natural juices of the meat cook the meat. Tzlik kedar. You have some other exotic way of cooking it? You want to go put it in the microwave? You want to put it in a convection oven? You want to go? Whatever you want to do is perfectly fine. When it comes to Besar Kachim, there is no limitation as to how you can prepare the meat for consumption. The only time the Torah is makbid as to how you prepare the meat is Karban Pesach. Tzli'esh. And not only tzli'esh, you have to roast the entire animal in one shot, which has an effect on the roasting. You know, if you go and you take meat and you cut a little piece and you roast one little piece of meat at a time, it's a different roasting than when you roast the animal in one shot. It's not just people make these, it has to be roasted. You know, when they roast meat today, there's a whole art in, you know, don't roast too big of a piece. If you roast too big of a piece, it's not the same when you roast small pieces. It's a different technique. You have to roast the entire animal in one shot. That creates a product that is unique. A mumche can tell you this piece of meat was roasted in a large piece, and what you're serving me is only one slice. Contrast to roasting the slice, one slice by itself. It's a different product when you roast the entire animal in one shot. Torah is very makbid, exactly how the meat is prepared. When you create upon a person a limitation, that already takes away from Lamashcha. Lamashcha, when you're a king, when you're a legedula, the definition of a melech is freedom. I'm the boss. I do whatever I want. No one tells me what to do. Anyway. Melech poirets geder. You know, eminent domain. I like this house. It's mine. I want to build a road and your house in the way. Get lost. A melech has no limitations. Eminent domain, freedom. When you start telling people, no. 15-minute cities. And Bechol, you're not perking up. When you give people limitations, you tell them, this is the way, that by definition, it diminishes the principle of Lamashcha. Because This is not a carbon chagiga. This is not a carbon shlomim. You can't cook this. You have to roast this. There's a very specific, limited way as to how you're going to eat this. And by the way, also, time. There's no carbon that has a shorter time span than a carbon Pesach. The whole carbon Pesach, you have 6 hours to eat. The carbon Pesach has to be before Chatzos. So when you limit someone's time, hey, that's not Lamoshcha. The carbon Pesach is, you can't say it's not Lamoshcha, but it chops away a significant degree of the standard principle of Lamoshcha when you're limited as exactly how it needs to be prepared and in the time of it being prepared. Therefore, now there's also another principle. Now this is more, I don't know, you have to ask people who are experts in cuisine, is when you cook something, everyone's had this experience where you have food, it's not so great. You know, the raw material, like, I don't understand, maybe quinoa. To me, regular quinoa with no flavoring and no nothing, it's horrible. So why is quinoa a multi-million dollar industry? It's not used for itself, it's used to hide other things. If you add a ton of ingredients into the quinoa, so then you're really just tasting the ingredients you're tasting, and the quinoa is just there as a filler. Quinoa by itself, no one would eat raw quinoa. Just to cook bland quinoa in a pot and prepare it, and you give it to someone, what is this? But if you go and you dump into it a ton of chemicals and unhealthy sodium, and who knows what you dump into the quinoa, all of a sudden, quinoa, delicious. It's delicious. Let's lobby the OU that it should be kosher the Pesach and it shouldn't be kidneys, right? So there are certain type of foods that are poor quality, but you can hide its chesroinos in many different ways. Cooking does a lot of good for poor cooking can do that. You have food, you have a meat, and the meat is not high quality meat. This is what it writes over here. If it's true or not, I don't know. You'll tell me if it's true or not. When you cook something, you can disguise and masquerade, manipulate the chesroinos of a poor quality food by cooking, because somehow the cooking, it does something. Pot roast, slikedar. Other, when it comes to roasting, you can't do that. There's not that much you can do when it comes to roasting. If something is of high quality, roasting is the way to go. Because the roasting brings out the milos of the product without the embellishments. If it's a good quality piece of meat, the meat on its own is delicious. It doesn't need all of the flavoring and all of the other enhancements. A melech typically only eats roasted meat. You know why? Because the melech eats the best. He gets the first cut. He doesn't need to disguise, to masquerade the poor quality food. Now, this principle that I'm telling you, to anyone here, a mumcha in cuisine, ask your wives if this is true, this principle, is that when you have a grade A piece of meat, then naturally the best way to prepare it and to enjoy it is through roasting, because it will stand on its own. When you have a situation where the product is not grade A, it's grade B, you know what you do? You put it into a pot and you add water, and in the water you add a ton of ingredients and let the meat shrivel a little bit, and that way it'll take away some of the impurities. And you eat all the ingredients are gonna be in, and then when you're eating them, you're not really eating the meat. You're really eating the flavoring, and the meat is just there, you know, to put everything together. A melech only has the first cut, has the best. He doesn't need cooking. He doesn't need pot roast. He doesn't need these other techniques. He doesn't need frying and baking. The item stands on its own. The meat roasting is the way to bring out the myla. Now, when it comes to all kachim,
it sounds like you're looking at this from a culinary perspective, rather than
that's a second approach.
Rather than the symbolism.
So the Torah wants Pesach, and there are many dimensions to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. The Torah demands that it should be eaten. It should be eaten only tzli. Why? So Chazal says it's the derech hamelech, the derech of kings to eat tzli. Why is it the derech hamelech to eat tzli? So this is a culinary approach to explain why this is so, because a high quality product doesn't need embellishments. It stands on its own, and the way you bring out the best of the product without the embellishments is specifically through tzli. Okay, we don't need to even come on, but let's go back. What was the first approach? Is there is a limitation. When you limit a person, I like cooked meat. I don't like roasted meat, whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. I like it cooked. I like it tzlikedar, shaluk. There are other ways to prepare. I like it gnaw, shaluk, tzlikedar, bishul. There are many techniques to prepare food. What's going on here, Pesach night? You're telling me tzli? I don't like tzli. I like shaluk. I like mavushul. I like gnaw. There are other ways to prepare meat. You're limiting me. That's called lamashcha. Lamashcha means I'll do what I want. A melech poyreit sked, I'll do what I want. Enoch enami, the Karban Pesach, there is taka no din lamashcha. There is no din lamashcha. We're taking away from you your choice, your bechira, as to how to eat this meat. Memela, if there's no din lamashcha, how am I going to eat it then? How am I going to be mechabed, the basar, to give it chashivus? Nechal al hasoiva. The din nechal al hasoiva by a Karban Pesach is unique to all other items of Kodesh. Even though you'll tell me that by other items of Kodesh, the Rishonim throw around the term. This nechal al hasoiva by every Karban. By every carbon shlomin, you can't eat a ravosan. You can't eat in the state of achila gasa. So every carbon is nechal al hasoiva. It's true, but it's a different type of nechal al hasoiva. Every other carbon, you're unlimited in how you prepare it. Because you're unlimited, the way you choose to prepare it, that's the soiva. If I like basar cooked no, which means partially cooked basar, or I like my basar shaluk, or I like my basar mevushal, that's the soiva. That's the nechala. Oh, I'm hungry? Okay, so don't be hungry. You have to take care of that principle also. But just the fact that you're able to prepare the basar the way you want, this is the gres de soiva that applies to all of the kachim. But Karban Pesach, you don't have that. You're severely limited. You're limited in time. Other karbanos, you have 20, you have, what do you have? How many hours do you have? You have 2 days, that's 12 and 12 is 24, plus another 16. You have 30 hours. You have 30 hours, approximately 30 hours to eat ordinary basar kachim, give or take. 30 hours. Karban Pesach, less than 6 hours. Ooh, we're holding you down to a very specific. I get worked up. 6 hours. This is when I can eat it. You're holding me hostage here, and only tzli where the whole animal is roasted in one shot. This is not the way I do things. You know, I need some revach lehispoine, and I want to eat it this way. You're holding me hostage here. That's right. We are. The Torah wants it done in a very specific way. Fine, Zecheli, it's a mitzvah. But this is not going to give me satisfaction. If you're limiting me to when and how I'm going to eat my meat, then you're telling, you're giving me rules. Whenever you give a person rules, you're right away playing with his mind. You're right away, this is all the principle, you know, it's all the news the whole day of government, of a government which freedom versus rules and regulations. What's the chilek? Where do you draw the line between a police state and having freedom? Whenever you go and you impose upon mankind rules and regulations, you take away a degree of satisfaction. Ordinary kachem, the very fact that you can do with it whatever you want, and you can eat it for 30 hours, this alone is the greatest satisfaction. So you want to go, tell me, by the way, don't eat it when you're starving. All right, if you already made so many choices, and you're already deciding when you're going to eat it and how you're going to eat it, don't worry. You're going to eat it in a way where it's to your advantage. We can trust you. But when it comes to Korban Pesach, it's a mitzvah. It's a briska. It's a litvak. It's a yontif for the litvaks. Pesach. For the yekis. This is the time when you eat it. This is how you eat it. Bidiyuk. I'm satisfied. This is satisfaction. When you're imposing upon me severe limitations. So the Torah says it's a problem. It is a problem. Therefore, the very least is we're going to invent a term that is unique to Korban Pesach called Nechal Al Hasoiva. That your tank should be just right, not too full, not too empty, so that when the Korban Pesach is consumed, there will be an element of soiva. And let's also take appreciation. And because it's going to be roasted, this is the Mordechai Musar. Because it's going to be roasted and it's not going to be in the culinary approach, the Korban Pesach has to be enjoyed for its own sake. L'shma. Don't embellish it with ingredients. You can do whatever you want to it. But it's not like cooking. In cooking, all the forms of cooking, according to our chefs, our expert chefs, there is the ability to hide poor quality meat with artificial enhancements. That's not Judaism. Don't live a life where your religious experience is very poor, but we enhance it by going to the Hamptons, going to Florida. You know, the Seder is not so exciting. But you know, when we have a Florida, we're living Chveis. I'm not chashom saying anything. I'm saying, you understand what I mean? When the Tofel becomes the Iker, and the Iker is the Tofel, you got a problem. When you take Basar and you cook it, you open up a world of possibility. This is what it says over here in the culinary world that allows, opens up the possibility very easily where the Tofel is the Iker and the Iker is the Tofel. The Korban Pesach represents Klal Yisrael. It represents Yitzias Mitzrayim. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shepasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Botei Mitzrayim Benokvu Es Mitzrayim Yes Boteinu Hitzil. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us. Yadus, the Iker has to be the Iker. You have to bring out the flavor of the Iker. And you have to find satisfaction in that. You have to find in life satisfaction in the pure basar that you have. Other kachim, you don't have to have such satisfaction in the basar itself. You can have greater satisfaction in the ingredients and in the method of how you're going to change and transform by cooking it and doing all these artificial things to your basar. Because that's kachim. But when it comes to Korban Pesach, it has to be pure. The din of Nechal Al Hasoiva is greater than Lemoshcha. Because Lemoshcha allows you to artificially enhance what you have in life. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous, to artificially enhance what you have in life. If something is really good, you don't need all these preservatives and flavoring and all these other things. It takes away from the ikar. Something is really good. All kachim lemoshcha. The Korban Pesach is Nechal Al Hasoiva. We cut out all the other artificial techniques, and we demand that you create for yourself a situation of purity, of satisfaction in what you have. the end. Now this is very relevant because that's really what you think about at the end of the Seder. At the end of the Seder, no matter where you are, in the fanciest hotel in Florida, no matter where you are, at the end of the day, what do you do at the end of the Seder? What's the last thing you eat? The last thing you eat is the kezayis matzah. All you got is water and flour heated in an oven. All this fancy stuff doesn't make a difference. And you sit there, behaseba, and now you're up to the point of nechal al hasoiva. Everything that you do for Pesach, people go away for Pesach, they do all these things. This is all begeder l'moshcha. It's not enough today to fly a commercial. Come on, who flies commercial anymore? A private jet where they come and they take you and they pamper you. And this. All of that is l'moshcha, l'gedula. But all of that has potential, if you're not careful, to make the ikr, the tuffle, the ikr. But at the end of the Seder, you have to ground yourself. Now it's time to be mekayim, something called nechal al hasoiva. Nothing. No cooking, no shaluk, no this, no ingredients, roasted. Are we satisfied with the simple, pure flour, water that represents who we are? That's the challenge. That is the Yisoid of Pesach, Nechal al Hasoid. All right, I have 10 minutes, so I want to tell you another topic of bringing.
By the way, in every wedding, you have a shmogis board that the meal is Nechal al Hasoid.
What do you need to have a meal after a smorgasbord? What have you not had at a smorgasbord that you now... It doesn't make... Something is wrong with us. We're totally missing the boat. We're missing the boat. Somebody, the smartest thing they do is no smorgasbord, and after the chuppah, they should serve... After the chuppah, they serve the entire meal. The entire meal. Really. No smorgasbord. No smorgasbord. And then... Chuppah, chas and kala, go take all the pictures you want, and then when they're out, they don't just serve, waste all this time. Serve the whole, I went like this, give out the whole meal, and then the chas and kala come in, and they have one dance, bench, and go home. It was fantastic. It took away all the wasted time. You don't have to go have a smorgasbord, and then you have to wait for hours and hours, and they just serve you soup. And then there's dancing. And then they serve the main course. Serve the main course right away. And then they have one dance. Share brachas. And everyone can have a drink. You're finished. What would be so terrible?
7:00, 10:00.
What would be so terrible? Okay. Let's now. Okay, I want another very fascinating idea. There's also a lot of musr in this. I like what I saw here. This idea made an impression upon me. Okay. This is an old topic about what about Bizman Hazeh bringing a Korban Pesach today? 2023. Okay, all these rites are going on Eretz. Pachat Pachadim. What's going on Eretz Yisrael now? We should say Tehillim. We should mamish say Tehillim. What's going on Eretz Yisrael now is mamish on the verge of a civil war, terrible violence. People are getting hurt. It's a Pachat Pachadim. What's going on? In the middle of this tumult, go bring a Korban Pesach. No one's watching. Go to the Beis HaMikdash. Go to the Har HaBayis and bring a Korban Pesach. Who is this kasha? It's a famous sugyot, Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Halakha of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He brought out this topic. Why can't we bring Bizman Hazeh? No, I don't think so. So who is his father-in-law? The Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer would hold teshuva on this.
His son-in-law.
All right, I can't hear. Stay cool.
Was the father-in-law of the
Chassam Sofer. I made a mistake. His son-in-law. The Chassam Sofer was the son-in-law. So the Chassam Sofer had a long teshuva on this, that it can't be done. Okay, we'll not go through the whole teshuva, but basically everyone is mefalpel in this sugya very, very much. And what are the issues? The issue is that tumah, why can't we bring a Korban Pesach bizman hazeh? Number one, what are the problems? Let's go through all the issues. Do we know what the Beis HaMikdash is? Yeah, L'chayr, we know where it is. Do we know where the Makom HaMizbeach is? Listen, we'll take a vote. We'll figure out, we'll do, there's enough information available out there, we'll go basarayf. There's so much information available today. So everything, of course, is theoretical. It'll be World War III before this happens. But let's, l'chayra, we can figure out to the best, l'nidna tar l'malachei hasharis, we can figure out where the mekayim hamizbeach is. We'll build a mizbeach. Ah, we're tameh. Tuma hutra b'tzibur. Kohen, whoever you give the first aliyah to, gedoyla chazaka. Chazal say, they write over here, all this new stuff and so on. What happens if a cholol does the avoida? Borei Hashem cheloi. L'chadchila a cholol, a kohen, who's a product of a divorce, who is, the yichus is not so good, b'dievet, after the fact, borei Hashem chelo, the avoida is kosher. So the kohanim today who have a chazaka, gedoyle chazaka, the kohanim today who get the first aliyah is no worse than being halalim. And therefore, there's no reason why we should not rely upon gedoyle chazaka to allow those who have a chazaka, being kohanim, to do the avoida. So what is holding, Big Day Kahuna, the Temple Institute is very confident that they have available for us, ready to go, Big Day Kahuna to do the Avodah. What's holding us back? What is holding us back, Bizman Hazeh, to bring a Korban Pesach? And in fact, there's a Mesoira, and maybe it's even in writing, that after the Korban Bayis Sheni, they continue to bring Korbanos.
Until Bar Kokhba's revolt.
Bar Kokhba, things quieted down, the Korban, after the Korban was over, until they grazed the Tzion Sada Techoresh.
Which in the Haggadah proves it. I had your Rabbi Kanefogel who gave a whole shiur on it.
They brought Korbanos. They did bring regular Korbanos. They brought regular Korbanos in the Mokoyim HaMikdash on that spot, even after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So why today, what is indeed holding us back from bringing Rabbi Kiva Eger really wanted, felt that there is a possibility, and there are many other Gedolei Yisrael that even attempted throughout the ages, v'chulu v'chulu. And it was always thoroughly shut down, canceled for various reasons. Some of them are very, very fascinating. And of course, the main reason why is, it's mamish pikuach nefesh. If the Goyim today would hear that we brought a Korban Pesach, literally World War III would break out. Okay, the Muslims would mamish, the world would come to an end. So the pikuach nefesh, that's the easiest answer. Others want to say that you need to be, some of the other answers are very, very, very creative, is this, that we have a principle of tumo chutra b'tzibur is only to do the avoida. But to build a mizbeach, it has to be done b'tahara. The mizbeach has to be built and inaugurated b'tahara. That's the Chanukah miracle. The Chanukah miracle is all about, they demolished the old mizbeach and they rebuilt a new mizbeach. So even though tumo de b'tzibur, you can do the avoida, but you can do the avoida when everyone has become tamei, but at least you have a mizbeach that was built b'tahara. How could we go today build a mizbeach b'tahara when we don't have the paraduma? There's no way to build a mizbeach. It's a technical problem. The avoida is chutra b'tzibur, but you need to do the avoida on a mizbeach, and the mizbeach has to be built b'tahara, which cannot be done. There's another one to say is another very lamusha. The idea is that the reason why is tum chutra b'tzibur, it's because the tzitz is meratze. You need a tzitz. Who today is going to make a tzitz? Even if the tzitz munach b'kuspa, the tzitz is in a box. The only time tumo chutra b'tzibur or dechuya b'tzibur is if there's a tzitz. The Gemara says the tzitz is meratze on korbanos that are offered b'tumah. So we need a tzitz. So make a tzitz. Why can't we make? Maybe we can't make a tzitz. Why can't we make a tzitz? Can't make it. So then we say, once you have a tzitz. You can't just have a tzitz in a box. You have to have a kohen gadol. Even if the kohen gadol doesn't wear the tzitz, but the tzitz has to be shach to a kohen gadol. So maybe we need a kohen gadol. Oh, you need a kohen gadol already. That's already going to get into a whole big mess. All right, there are a lot of lamdisha answers, beautiful answers. This is a lot of discussion about this. There's a very basic answer, another answer which opens up everything, and that is when you bring a karbon, a regular karbon, the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, a karbon is nikraf for shisha dvarim. There are six things that have to be fulfilled when a karbon is offered, and one of the six, I think, is Dav Gimel Masechta Zvachim. It's l'shem reyach nichoyach, nachas ruach. Has to be offered, you know. There are many. When you bring a korban, there has to be a kavana to give Hashem nachas ruach, a reyach nichoyach. That's what it says in the Gemara Masechta Zvachim. It says in the pasuk, "V'hashimoisi es mikdish sheichem, v'loy oriach bereyach nichoychachem." Famous pasuk. I will bring about the destruction of your altars. V'hashimoisi es mikdash sheichem. Your mikdash will be destroyed. V'lo yariach. And Hashem declares, V'lo yariach. I'm not going to inhale. I'm not going to enjoy the fragrance of your offerings. The pasuk says, Beferish. That when we are in a matzav of V'hashimoisi es mikdash sheichem, it is automatic. V'lo yariach bereach nichoychachem. Mimela, what do you bring a carbon for? You're bringing a carbon, you're missing a critical element of the carbon. There is no reach nichoyach. Hashem has no satisfaction from this carbon. So this is a very powerful principle, which almost everyone accepts, this principle. However, the challenge to this principle is the only place every single carbon in the Torah, it says the word Reach Nichoyach except for one. And that is the carbon Pesach. All the carbonists of the Torah, Medaktik in the Psukim, the word L'Reach Nichoyach is mentioned. Maybe this is a part of a carbon oila, which is bringing a carbon chatas. The site is bringing regular carbon. The site, what does she bring? She brings all of the carbon. She doesn't bring a new carbon. She brings a special carbon. The only place where there is no mention of the word reach nichoyach is by a carbon pesach. So this answer may be a good answer to shut down the offering of the tnidim, the musafim, bisman hazeh, but carbon Pesach, it doesn't say anywhere that a carbon Pesach demands a reach nichoyach. So we're back with the question. So why can't we bring a carbon Pesach? We don't have reach nichoyach. Mm-hmm. All right, so some say it's not. So reach nichoyach applies to carbon. But here's the problem. The problem over here is we know as a fact, this is the point I want to get. The whole thing I'm coming over here is to this one yisayit. This is the one yisayit I want to get to. We know as a fact, it says the Farish in Sefer Ezra, when Klal Yisrael went to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, they began to bring korbanos before the Mikdash was built. When Koresh gave permission for Klal Yisrael to return to build the Bayis HaMikdash, they came, they took possession of the Mekoyim HaMikdash, and they put up curtains to mark off this is the location. And behind the curtains, at the same time that they were involved in construction, they were bringing korbanos. It says this beferish in the pasuk in Sefer Ezra. So the question is, how can you go tell me over here that it says in the pasuk that the hashimoisi es mikdash sheichem v'lo yariach bereach nichoychachem? I will destroy your beis hamikdash, and I'm not going to enjoy the reach nichoyach. When we know as a fact they brought korbanos before there was a beis hamikdash, it was still in the category of v'hashimoisi es mikdash sheichem v'lo yariach bereach nichoychachem, and they were bringing korbanos. So you see, the reach nichoyach is not ma'akev. They brought korbanos. There was no mikdash built in Ezra. It was even cancelled. They just put up some curtains. That's not called a mikdash. And they started bringing korbanos right away. Oh, but it says, v'lo yariach bereach nichoychachem. So this is the answer. This is a beautiful answer. They were in the process of building. When you're in the process of building, that's not called v'hashimaisyas mikdash sheichem. When the pasuk says, I will destroy shemama, I will demolish. This is not called a demolishment. We're building. They put up the curtains. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's not. But we're now in the process of build. Oh, you're building. You can't tell me now when you're building, it's called v'hashimaisi. When you're in the process of building. What is the yesod? I know many people who live in the past. Talk to them. That, oh, 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I know one person, he's no longer living, this person. He passed away a long time ago. For 40 years, the last 40 years of his life, he mamish lived in the past. You have 40 years of your life. live for now. Now, every day. It's very scary when you go to a dinner. I find this to be very, very true. You go to a yeshiva dinner, and they start talking about when the yeshiva was founded, 100 years ago, 50 years ago. When a yeshiva starts talking about the past, you know they're in trouble because they have nothing to talk about. When you're busy with life, you don't have time to open up the album, the wedding album from 50 years ago and look at the wedding album. You're busy with life. Forget about the past. People, it's not a healthy thing when everything now becomes to reminisce. You go to the Pesach Seder, oh, my father, my grandfather. Yeah, these are nice things. Go talk about your father, grandfather on Hanukkah. Talk about how they made a Pesach Seder. By your Pesach Seder, we're talking about now and the future. It's a very unhealthy thing when people devote themselves to the past. It's not a good thing. It's really not a good thing. At least live. Live for now and the future. Right now, you had a yeshiva dinner. We're building. We're building what we're doing. We're going weiter, going weiter. Don't worry about the past. When you sit down, you want to bring a carbon Pesach. Why do you want to bring a carbon Pesach? Today you want to be in Karim Pesach. Why do you want to be in Karim Pesach today? Many people will say, ah, Zeichel LeMikdash. So that's what you say in the Agoda. You say in the Agoda, Zeichel LeMikdash. Kach hoye hil oise bizman shebeis ha-mikdash ho-yekayim. That's a very dangerous statement. The reason, you know, I want to go build, because I taught in the past, you want to go build, bring a Karim Pesach bizman hazeh, because the Zayde, he brought a carbon Pesach. You want to reminisce? Excuse me. V'hashimois yes mikdash sheichem. His mikdash is long gone. You want to be mamshich v'hashimois yes mikdash sheichem? There's no reach nichoyach. But if the reason why you want to bring a carbon Pesach bizman hazeh is because the geula is here. The geula is here. We're mamish, we're coming now to Yemos HaMashiach. That's like Ezra. Then there's a Reach Nichoyach. A lot of times when you read people, you ask, why do you want to bring Karim Pesach Bizman Hazeh? Is it because the Mashiach is here now? Or is it because, you know, it's like a Hemshech, it's like a brisk, a litvak. There's a din. If it's a cold, hard halacha, I want to bring the Karim Pesach, that's the halacha. Let's bring the halach. The halach is the bin karm pesach, chif karis, azoyin, because that's the mesora. Excuse me, the mesora is the hashimois yes mikdash sheichem. There's a chorbin, and there's no beis hamikdash, and v'lo yarich v'rech nichayachem. But if there is some excitement that the geula is here, the geula is around the corner, we're now holding by ikvus of the Mashiach, and you're looking forward, then you're going into the shoes of Ezra HaSofer in Nehemiah, where we're now building a bayis, and the curtains are up, and if we're in the process of building, then there's no longer v'hashimois yes mikdash sheichem. Can we say today that bringing Karban Pesach is begeder Ezra? Or are most of the people who want to bring Karban Pesach is because it's a din, it's a halacha. It's halacha, we're connecting to the past. If you want to connect to the past, it's not going to work. It's v'hashimos yes mikdash v'lo yariach v'rech nichachachem. But if you really have that emun and that excitement of yimot, hinei anochi shlechem eis eliyah navi lifnei bo yeh ma'ashem hagol v'hanoira, that we're mamish now building the Beis HaMikdash, then yeah, Today, there's so much fighting. There's so much machlokes. Can you really say that, we're going to chop a rein? We're going to chop a rein? We'll make an agreement with the Arabs that they're going to let us for one day go and do what we want? Can you really say we're doing it because this is now part of the process of Mashiach is here? It's hard to really say that when you look around at what's going on. Can you really say that? Let's say you'll make a deal today. The Arabs will say, listen, money, give them enough money. The Arabs, still a hate. You can come in and you can bring your carbon Pesach. I guarantee you. Give them $1 billion. Just don't bring the cameras. You come, you'll do it quietly. For enough money, you'll... Can we say, going in still hate and bring a carbon Pesach b'zman hazeh? We'll have the temple society, we'll have all the halachs, we'll solve every problem. Can you really say today that bring a carbon Pesach is going to be begeder? We're like Ezra, and we're now in the process of building the Beis HaMikdash? If you have to do it behind closed doors, it doesn't seem like it. So why are you doing it? Halacha! Halacha! The past? There's no reach nichayach. Okay, everybody, so stop here. Thank you.